Would you take your the Word of God this morning and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 3, and we'll be there today and tomorrow, and hopefully the Lord will answer my prayer. I believe He will. I just want to be used. I want to be used. I'm certainly more of a practical type person. I want to give people something that they can put to use right now. And that's my prayer anyway. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll begin reading with verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be here at this place for this day, for such a time as this, with this group of students. And I pray You'd use our time here in Your Word this morning to be a help, encouragement, and give direction to us. And may the Spirit of God take the Word of God and speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe God, you may be seated, I believe God has a plan for all of us. Every last one of us, God has a specific plan for us. It's been said that God's plan in your life is not a roadmap, it's a relationship. I often think about so many times I was concerned about what will I be doing 5 years, 10 years, or even 20 years down the road. What will I be doing? And then I've come to the place where I realize I just have to be responsible today to be where I'm supposed to be today and do what I'm supposed to do today. And if I will continue to do that every day of my life, 5 years from now, I will be where and doing what I ought to be doing. It's a matter of a daily relationship. And I believe that it's much easier for God to direct us as we are in motion, serving Him and walking with Him. It's kind of hard to steer a parked car. If you've ever been in an older car, and it would be much older to most of you, before the days of power steering. I remember my dad had an old Ford truck, and for why he had a Ford, I have no idea. He must have had a serious problem with discernment that day. But anyway, that old truck, if you went to steer it, it wasn't really easy at all to steer until you started moving. But once you started moving, it was easier to steer. I believe God is not looking for lazy people. I believe God is looking for faithful people that He can steer their lives and give direction to them as they're moving forward. And I believe the highest place in the Christian life is to be in the center of God's will. There's no question about that. I said yesterday that the most miserable people on earth are not lost people. We sometimes think the most miserable people are lost people, but they're not. I believe the most miserable people are God's children that are outside of His will, that are not in the center of His will. They're the most miserable people on earth. There's no question. I believe the highest place for you and I is to be in the center of His will and doing exactly what He wants us to do. And you have to ask your question, that question this morning. Are you where you ought to be? Are you doing what you ought to be doing? Are you right with God? Because God has something very special for you. There's no question about that. It's the highest place. I'll say this morning. Be what God wants you to be, and God will show you what He wants you to do. It's kind of like somebody that's looking for a mate. They're praying and asking God to give them the right spouse. And I want to tell you this: if you'll be the right spouse, God will give you the right spouse. You and I have to be what God wants us to be, and I believe God wants us to be holy. Not much is ever said in Baptist churches about that, but we are to be holy people. We are to forsake the world and separate ourselves from the world, but unto Him. Unto Him. Listen, that is so important. And God is far more interested in you being the right person than what you are doing. I think some people think the only way to find the acceptance of God is if they are about some great work or they've built some great name for themselves. I want to tell you, that is not it at all. Let God determine the work. You and I must be determined to be what He wants us to be on an everyday basis. Stephen Olford was a Baptist preacher, and he went to visit his dad in the hospital. And his dad had some wise advice for him, for the young Stephen Olford. And he said this just days before he passed away to his son. 'Tis but one life that will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.' And God used this to pierce the young Stephen Alford, and he bowed there his head in that hospital, and he said this in his prayer, 'Anywhere, anytime, any cost. Anywhere, anytime, any cost.' Usually when I'm traveling up and down the interstate, many times I will see these tractor trailers go down, and they're a shipping company moving people and different things, but it says anytime, anywhere, anything. But I do believe that this is such a true statement and something that you and I ought to have in our prayer. Lord, anywhere. Lord, anytime. Lord, any cost. It's going to cost you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no painless way to follow Christ. But he does say, take up my cross and follow me. And by the way, just as I said yesterday, I have a higher calling than to be a preacher. I have a higher calling to being a pastor. I even have a higher calling to be than a dad. I have a higher calling than being a husband to my wife. I have a calling to be with him. I have a calling to walk with him every day. And if I'm not obedient in my call to walk with him and to be with him every day, I will never be the husband, I'll never be the dad, I'll never be the pastor, I'll never be the preacher that he wants me to be. I must recognize he's first. He should be preeminent in every area of our life. And praise God that he is directing us and helping us. You're not here by accident today. I believe God had an appointed time for you, and this is it. Do you know why we have a hard time saying to God, anytime, anywhere, anything? I can tell you why we struggle with that sometimes, because we're not trusting with all our heart. We're not really depending on him. We've not said, Lord, I'll trust you no matter what. But we are to trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Let God choose the way. Listen, if you and I will give him our lives, and we will leave the choice for our lives to him, he will always give the best. He always gives the best to those who leave the choice to him. We must say, Lord, what do you want? Where? What do I need to do? And be totally yielded to that. As we think about the will of God, I can assure you this morning that God has more of a desire for you to do and know his will than you do. But there's no sense in God showing you his will if you've not surrendered to do it. Why would God lead you to the next step if you're not obedient where you're at right now? God is looking for us to be constantly obeying him day to day to day and so on. And as we yield ourselves to him, he will direct the way. But we must trust him. I want to mention just a few thoughts in regards to trusting him and allowing him to lead our life. Remember that God directs us through his word. That's why we should definitely be in his word every day. It's imperative that we are saturating our heart and mind with the word of God. We must feed ourselves spiritually. This has been a crazy year. I've been in ministry 25 years, not as long as some of these, but after 25 years of full-time ministry, I can say this year has been crazy. But there's one thing as a pastor that I've tried to do, because I know that our normal schedule has been turned upside down. We've went through a period where we were online only. We opened back up, and I decided that we had to shut things down again for a few weeks because we were being hit so hard with this COVID, and we had so many people in leadership that had been sick. But one of the things that I started doing back in February and March was finding ways to encourage our people to get into the Word of God, to make sure that they were reading and they were memorizing and they were repetitiously going through. And I've had Bible reading challenges for each month. And at the end of each month, I've given out gifts to those who completed the challenges. Why? I want them to be spiritually fed. And I'm concerned that when you and I, listen, we're not in church faithfully and we're not getting the teaching and preaching of God's Word, it's likely sometime that people are not feeding themselves when they're all alone either. And my concern as a pastor that the people are fed the Word of God. That ought to be a great concern to every Bible college student, that you are being fed the Word of God. Because don't think just because you are here on the campus of a Bible college that, listen, that you'll not become anemic spiritually speaking. We must have an emphasis on being spiritually fed. Now, I say, well, you say, I go to all these classes, I'm being spiritually fed. To some degree, but it'll never substitute your quiet time where it's just you and God. It's not. There's no substitute for you getting alone with God in His Word and allowing God to speak to you. And then you are responding in prayer to what God has spoken to you in His Word. Absolutely essential. And it's not just because of COVID, but it's a good reminder of how desperate we need to walk closely to God. He will direct us by His Word. By the way, you'll never find the will of God outside the Word of God. You'll never have a contradiction there. In Psalm 119, in verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God wants to show you the way. Yes, we live in a dark world, but as you and I are saturating our heart and mind with the Word of God, He will certainly direct us and show us what we need to see as the next step. And I want to make sure that that's what I'm doing, is following Him step by step. You'll find God's will and God's plan in His Word. Think about Romans chapter 12. If you want to turn there, you can. Many of you have memorized Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we need God's help to think right. Let me tell you this, we're not what we think we are, but what we think we are. And our thinking is important. What you're thinking about is controlling you. Listen, our behavior is determined by what we believe. And if we're going to believe right, then we're going to have our hearts and minds fixed on the Word of God. And God will help us in our thinking. And we present our bodies, we present our lives to Him, a living sacrifice. We must replace the carnal thoughts with God's thoughts by immersing ourselves in the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We must cast down things. You know, there's been times in my life, and I'll be very transparent, I've had thoughts and I thought, how could a saved person even have had that thought at all? Lord, You know, and I need Your help. Help me. Help me to think right. Help me to have pure thoughts. Help me to have the thoughts that You are pleased with. Sometimes God reveals His will through opportunities. Yes, He always directs us through the Word of God and never against the Word of God, but sometimes through opportunities and sometimes through circumstances. I believe God directs us through other Christians. It's amazing how the Lord has a way of leading us. And I'm so grateful that He does. He often guides through a verse of Scripture. But be careful just closing your Bible and just opening it up and pointing and saying, oh, okay, that's the answer. Reminds me of a pastor and a man were talking, and the man said, Pastor, I'm really struggling financially. I'm having a hard time. I can't seem to pay my bills and things are going south. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the pastor says, you need to get alone with God and get in His Word and find out what God has to say about it. Well, several months went by and the pastor saw Jim, and Jim pulled up in a nice fancy automobile, got out, nice suit, nice watch, everything. And the pastor said, Jim, it looks like you're doing very good. Looks like things have really turned around for you. Jim said, yes, Pastor, and I owe it all to you. I went home, opened up my Bible just like you said. I closed my eyes and I put my finger down, and there was the answer. Chapter 11. And I must be in a crowd that's not as old as me for sure. Bankruptcy is not the answer, okay? Bankruptcy is not the way to go. But God gave us His Word. And God reveals His Word. And there are certain times where in the Bible it will say specifically, this is the will of God. One of those times is found in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not willing The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. It is God's will for people to be saved. You don't even have to pray about that one. Listen, we know it's the will of God. We know it's... Now, I do pray for lost people to be saved, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But that is a given where God says He's not willing that any should perish. Listen, people are going to hell every moment. And by the way, God doesn't send one of them there. They send themselves there. God doesn't send people to hell. They send themselves there by refusing to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And by the way, God wants you in His will. And you, just because you're here this morning and you're in a great place, and you're in a place where the truth is presented every single day, but that doesn't mean that everybody under the sound of my voice today is a saved child of God. You may be sitting here today and you think, I've been struggling. I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure that I'm even saved. And that happens. It happens many times in Bible colleges. People come to a place like this where there is such an emphasis on the Word of God and in a place where the Spirit of God is working. And by the way, that's the greatest place to be, is where the Word of God is given, in a place where the Spirit of God is doing a work in people's hearts. And it might be that in this place you've come today and you're searching for truth. You're searching for the security that you don't have. And I'll tell you, it's the will of God for every person to be saved. No doubt about that. As we think about that, let me share another one with you. Another place where the Lord mentions it's His will. Ephesians 5, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It is the will of God. As a child of God, someone who is saved, that's the will of God for you to be saved. But it's also the will of God for you and I to be filled with His Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit of God. When I got saved over 35 years ago, almost 40 years ago, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I got the Spirit of God. I received the Spirit of God into my life. But I'm going to tell you something. He didn't get all of me that day. Because it's been a constant struggle with this old flesh to relinquish more and more of my life to Him, to allow Him to govern my life, and to give Him this and this area. And by the way, it ought to be that God has access and veto power in every area of our life. It ought to be that God can say, I need that. You need to surrender that area of your life to me. You need to give that to me. And so it is the will of God to be filled with the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I've often thought lately, I'm trying to get unspiritual people to understand spiritual things. And it seems like that's a constant struggle. But when that person is certainly, if they're not saved, It makes sense that they don't understand spiritual things. They're unspiritual. But sometimes even within the church you have people that they're struggling with the flesh, and there's so much carnality in their life, and you're trying to expect them to understand some spiritual things, but they're not spiritual. F.B. Meyer said this: when the Word of God, the impulse of the Holy Spirit in my heart, and the outward of circumstances are in harmony, then I am convinced that I am acting in accordance with the will of God. I want to say to you one simple statement here as a means of what F.B. Meyer said. Obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. Obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how if you and I will obey every impulse, we'll continue to have those impulses. But if we are not surrendering and we're not making decisions based on the Spirit of God working in our life, it's amazing. We may go long periods of time where the Lord's not speaking. We're not listening. I believe it's dangerous for the child of God to ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. God may tell you to do something. He may say, write that person a note. He may say, stop the car and get out and witness to that person. He may say, get back out of the car at the gas station. The guy on the other side of that gas pump needs a gospel tract. I want to be that sensitive so that when the Lord is leading in what we might think small things, most certainly as I sit in a place like this and the preaching of God's Word is given, then I would certainly yield there as well. We need to be in that constant state of submission. Then there's a third time that we see where the Scripture is very clear about the will of God in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. What he's saying here, look, it's the will of God to be saved. It's the will of God, listen, to be Spirit-filled. But it's the will of God to be sanctified, to be set apart. That's how I've always remembered that word, sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. And I believe that that's each of you today. You're not out there in the world. You're in here. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart. God has something specific for you. And be grateful for whatever it is. Listen, I'm not afraid of the will of God. If I have any concern, it's that I would miss it because I wasn't right with Him. I certainly have nothing to be afraid of in following Him. Someone asked a good question yesterday. He said, you think God would lead you to do something that you hated or you didn't have a desire to do? And I said, no. I said, because part of the way God's always led me was give me an overwhelming desire for that. It's just like the call to preach. April 22nd, 1992. I was sitting in a college chapel as a second semester freshman, 28 years ago. I came up in a Christian home, but not my parents weren't in ministry. I had not gone to a Christian school. I was in public school my whole life. But God gave me this overwhelming desire of preaching. Now, that didn't seem to add up because I grew up as a major introvert. Being in front of people was not my thing. I remember in elementary school when it's time to give an oral book report, it made me sick on my stomach. But I've heard since that, you know, with God's calling comes God's enablement. Well, He had to enable me. But I remember talking to my pastor. I said, I'm really struggling with this. I don't know if God's really calling me. I have this desire to preach. I go to bed with it. I dream about it. I wake up with it. It won't go away. I just have this desire to do something. But at the same time, I don't think I'm the guy that can do that. And my pastor said, you don't think the devil would give you a desire to preach, do you? I said, well, no, sir, I don't. I don't believe that at all. It must be of God. So April 22nd, 1992, in a college chapel, I was sitting there struggling. And a guest preacher got up and preached on knowing the will of God. And it was in that chapel service that I got it settled. I believe you've called me to preach. And God, if you'll use me to help people the way these preachers have helped me that's come through this college chapel, I'll do it. I'll do it. If you'll use me to help others the way you've used them to help me, I'll do it. I believe we are to be sanctified. I believe we ought to yield ourselves up for whatever God has for us. God's will is always best. Another thing that we must understand about the will of God, and trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. Also is through prayer. Yes, we have to be surrendered. We have to be saved. We have to be surrendered. We have to be Spirit-filled. But I believe God guides us in praying. I don't know about you, but if you prayed fervently and faithfully for something in particular or someone in particular, as we've heard about this morning, about this young lady whose mother was recently saved, I'm going to tell you, I wonder how many times prayer has been given for her. Many. And it's amazing how as we pray, God begins to show us the answers to prayer. It's an overwhelming thing, isn't it? I've also prayed for things that really I was praying against the will of God. I didn't know that at the time, but I was praying for certain things to work out a certain way. And I didn't realize as I was praying that it was against the will of God. But it's amazing through fervent prayer and faithful prayer, even my prayers began to change. And I began to pray differently for that person or differently for that situation. And eventually I find my own heart and mind being governed to match the will of God. And I believe that comes through faithful and fervent prayer. Find God's will. Pray about it. Yield yourself to it. Like, remember Samuel? What did he say? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I wish that was always the case with us, but sometimes I'm afraid that this is our prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Instead of that, Lord, I'm speaking, you listen. Lord, this is what I need you to do. Lord, this is how I want it to work out. Lord, are you listening? And that's basically how we are. Rather than coming before the Lord and speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. By the way, I think you ought to approach chapel that way. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I believe you ought to approach your devotions that way. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. That ought to be a prayer of ours as we open God's word every day. Lord, show me. I want something. I don't want to leave. Listen, I don't want to leave my devotions with nothing. I don't want to leave a chapel service without receiving something. By the way, don't blame the preacher if you don't get anything. We often get more when we invest more. Are we investing in chapel by praying for those guest preachers and the staff and faculty? Are we praying that God would give them the messages that we need? Are we praying for our professors to be able to help us in those classes and give to us, listen, to help equip us for the work of the ministry? Praying. Asking God to give us knowledge and understanding. But I'll tell you something else I pray for every day. Every day, there's something specific that I pray for. Every single day, I pray for wisdom. Why? Because wisdom is how to appropriate or to apply the knowledge that God has given. Be able to discern things. There's only two ways that I know about that you can get wisdom. One is found in James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's amazing that when we ask, God will deliver. And wisdom is something. Listen, we don't need to go one day in our life without the wisdom of God. There's only one other way I know that you can get wisdom, and that's through experience. But let me say this. I've got a teenager who's in 10th grade with me today. I've got a 7-year-old who's in 2nd grade with me today. You know, I've never raised teenagers before. And most parents hadn't, okay? It's a deep thought, I know, but you didn't know a whole lot about raising teenagers when they got to that point of life. But I can tell you this. When there's times that there's no way for me to rest on experience, I can rest on my prayer that God's going to grant me wisdom. Because if any of you lack wisdom, and certainly we lack wisdom where we've not had experience, let them ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And that's one thing in my life that I want liberal, is God giving me wisdom. I don't have many other things in my life that I consider liberal, but I like that one. Give me wisdom. And we all need it. Get your heart clean. Keep your motives clear. Allow the Scriptures to direct you. Donald Barnhouse said this, 90% of the will of God is found between your ears. I believe it's amazing what we already know to be the will of God. I believe it's amazing what God's already shown us to do. And I don't believe that He's going to continue to show us more and more things until we get busy doing what He's already given us understanding to do. Wisdom. Not emotionalism. Wisdom that is sanctified common sense is seeing life from God's point of view. There's another thing. God will guide you. Not only in Scripture, through prayer, the Holy Spirit impressing upon your heart, sanctified wisdom, but in providence. You believe God provides? We heard about it this morning. God provided. Over and over again, God's provided. Listen, if you don't learn to trust God now as a college student, you will learn to trust God at some point in your life. I think part of the college life is to prepare you for the future in more ways than one. One of those being, is God going to provide? Absolutely. Because one day, whether you're a missionary or an evangelist or a Christian school teacher or a pastor, hey, listen, it's going to be a constant way of life of trusting Him for each and every day. Trusting Him for how's your family going to survive, or how are you going to get that next meeting, or how are you going to possibly get enough churches to support you to get to the field. It doesn't matter. Whatever you attempt to do for God, you're going to have to trust Him. Now some today, maybe you haven't made right now. Maybe the bank account's full. Maybe you really don't have any physical needs. Maybe everything's well physically, financially, and you're just coasting. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It won't always be that way. Because somewhere you're going to have to learn to trust God. Somewhere you're going to have to find out that He is all that you need and so much more. Let God guide you. And then I'm going to share one last thing in closing. As we trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know, when we do what we're supposed to do, God will always do what He's supposed to do. How many of you this morning say, God's blessed you? He's blessed you. Has He opened doors for you? Has He provided for you? Answered prayers for you? So where does that leave us? I think it leaves us with this last thought. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Many times the Bible says, this is the will of God. It's the will of God for you to be saved. It's the will of God for you to be Spirit-filled. It's the will of God for you to be sanctified. It's the will of God to be thankful. I don't know if you've heard this. I would assume many have heard this statement that faithfulness today creates opportunities for tomorrow. I shared that in a class yesterday, and I've heard that many times in my life. Faithfulness today creates opportunities for tomorrow. But the Lord's given me something that I have watched over these last 15 years, or 25 years of ministry, but 15 years of pastoring. And I want you to write this down as a closing statement. Thankfulness today creates opportunities for tomorrow. Thankfulness today creates opportunities for tomorrow. I'm amazed at how some are so blessed, but yet so ungrateful. I'm amazed at how many Christians have been blessed in so many ways, but lack gratitude. I can tell you this. It's hard, even as a parent, to continue giving and doing things for your children when they're not thankful for what you've already done. How it must grieve our Heavenly Father when we're not thankful for all that He's already done. May we have our hearts yielded. May we know that we are secure in our salvation. May it be that we're surrendered and that we are sanctified, but then we are satisfied with Christ alone. He's enough to satisfy. And He ought to be to all of us. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Faithfulness today creates opportunities tomorrow, but so does thankfulness. Thankfulness creates opportunities for tomorrow. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for the wonderful privilege to be at this place for such a time as this. I pray, dear Lord, for these students, the staff and faculty, our guests here today. Thank You for each of them. Thank You for the privilege to be able to share things from Your Word with them today. And I pray that You'd continue to use this both now and the days ahead to be a help and a blessing. In Christ's name, let's stand with our heads bowed. Dr. Lucan's coming to give this invitation.